Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or talk about conspiracy theories or when the world is going to end, but we'll get you ready in case that does happen. During this show, you'll be exposed to current emergency information from government and non-government sources, and we will talk about the true important information that everyone needs to know. First aid, CPR, what is a tornado, what to do during an earthquake, how to prepare a family emergency plan, a family emergency communication plan, how to hunt, fish, how to build a fire, what to do in case of power outages. The show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and a variety of guests who will come and share their expertise with us. Nowadays, everywhere you look, someone is an expert. Just because someone writes a book or runs a blog does not make them an expert. However, my credentials? Well, they're pretty extensive with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, firefighter, correctional safety manager, area safety manager, safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA Field Councils, and HE Safety Consultants. I have received numerous awards and citations throughout my career with the United States Air Force, U.S. Department of Justice, founding member of the United States Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Department of Labor. What does this mean? Well, it means you'll get reliable, verifiable information, not paranoia theories. I will share the experiences I have seen in the field since 1986, and I will be able to explain some of the why things are happening. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on the show or find on csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to give you alternate information to get you to think about things and use your own common sense to make your decisions. We do suggest that you talk to your personal medical and legal advisors to help you make a well-rounded, informative decision. Our website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information than can be found on this program. The website is free, so stop on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can download or review any of the past shows from our website and comment on any of the news articles that you may see. Also, please show some love to our sponsors. It is because of them we are able to reach you and offer you this life-saving information. Our sponsors have been selected based on the quality of service they offer to our listening audience. They are the vendors that should be of most interest to you. Common Sense Preparedness' mission is not to sell you anything, but instead it is to save as many lives as we can. It is sad to hear about any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Prepare with your host, my grandpa, Tim Howard.
All right, we're in November now, and the temperature around the country is dropping rapidly, everywhere around the country. So I want to take a little few minutes here and talk about winter preparedness, how to prepare for the extreme cold dangers and what they are, what kind of health risks you're going to have, and how to combat that. Now, when winter temperatures drop significantly below normal, staying warm and safe can become a challenge. Extremely cold temperatures often accompany a winter storm. So not only are you going to have to cope with the snow, you might have power failures, icy roads, wind chill. Although staying indoors as much as possible can help reduce the risk of your outside hazards, you're going to face indoor hazards as well. You have to understand that. Many homes in the U.S. will be too cold, either due to power failure or because the heating system is inadequate for the weather. When people must use space heaters and fireplaces to stay warm, the risk of household fires increase, as well as the risk of carbon monoxide poisoning. Exposure to cold temperatures, whether indoors or out, can cause other serious life-threatening health problems. Infants and elderly are particularly at risk here, but anyone can be affected. To keep yourself and your family safe, you should know how to prevent cold-related health problems and what to do if cold weather emergencies arise. So what is extreme cold? Let's talk about that. What constitutes extreme cold and its effects can vary across different areas of the country. In regions relatively unaccustomed to cold weather, near freezing temperatures can be considered extreme cold. Whenever temperatures drop decisively below normal, as wind speed increases, heat leaves your body more rapidly, these weather-related conditions may lead to serious health problems. Extreme cold is a dangerous situation that can bring on health emergencies in susceptible people, such as those without shelter, who are stranded, who live in a home with poorly insulated or without heat. So you must plan ahead for this. Prepare in extremely cold weather every winter. It's always possible. You know, we always get that freak storm coming up. So always prepare yourself prior to winter, every year. Here are some steps you want to take to plan ahead for winter storms. Get a winter survival kit at your home. Keep several days' supplies of the following items. Food. Now, pick the food that don't need any cooking or refrigeration. Because trust me, well, you can even use the refrigeration ones because it's going to be cold enough to keep it cold. And items we're talking about, bread, crackers, cereal, canned foods, you want to build up a supply of that, at least 7 to 10 days' worth. Store water in clean containers and put them inside your house. 5 gallons per person per day. Well, let's go down to 1 gallon a person per day. But you want to have probably 10 gallons per person stored. Now, also, a lot of people forget this one, medicines that your family's going to need. Understand, if we have a storm hit you, you could be out and isolated for 10 days. So you need to have a minimum of 10 days' worth of extra medicine for your family stockpiled. Now, some other emergency supplies. Now, these are some of the things you want to have extra in your house, and you want to plan for and think about prior to facing a winter storm. An alternate way to heat your home during power failures: dry firewood for a fireplace, or wood stove, or kerosene for your kerosene heaters, furnace fuel, coal, propane, or oil. Worst case scenario, if you need electric space heaters, have a couple of them in the house. But when you have these space heaters, make sure they have an automatic shut-off valve or switch, and they're non-glowing elements. It decreases the fire risk. Know where your blankets are. Have them readily available. Matches. Have a fire extinguisher. If you're going to have to do fire in your house or electric heaters, make sure you have a fire extinguisher. First aid kit and instruction manual if you don't know how to do first aid. Flashlights and battery-powered lanterns. A battery-powered radio or a hand crank radio, clock or watch. Have some extra batteries. I would start stocking up on my batteries now. Non-electric can opener, snow shovel, rock salt, and any kind of special needs you might have. If you have infants, diapers, and formula, hearing aid batteries, medications, etc. You got to start planning for this stuff. And when we talk about building yourself a supply list, I don't mean to go out and spend $700 on all these supplies today. What we're talking about is this. You know, you go shopping Fridays, so you pick up 3 extra things. Next Friday, pick up another 3 things. And the following Friday after that, you'll be surprised how fast this gathers in the house. I know for myself and my family likes soy sauce. And it goes well in a lot of their food. So what I try to do is I'll pick up 2 extra bottles. Every time we're out of soy sauce, I'll pick up 2 extra bottles. So the next time I go, I'll pick up another bottle and another. And by the time we have an emergency, we have about 4 bottles of soy sauce that they need because they don't want like food without it to carry us through the emergency. So it builds up quickly. So you don't have to go out in there and do it right away. Just gradually start preparing your family supplies for this, your home cash. Now, preparing your home for the winter. Although periods of extreme cold cannot always be predicted far in advance, we've gotten pretty good at weather forecasting, and it can sometimes give you several days' notice. Listen to the weather forecast regularly, and check your emergency supplies whenever a period of extreme cold is predicted. If you plan on using a fireplace or a wood stove for emergency heating, have your chimney and flue inspected each year. Now, you can go to the Yellow Pages on that, or you can go to your local fire department. They can recommend an inspector. Also, if you're using a fireplace, wood stove, or kerosene heater, install smoke detectors on every floor of your house and carbon monoxide detectors near the area to be heated. Test them monthly and replace the batteries every time the clocks change. Your ability to feel the change in temperature decreases with age. The older people are more susceptible to health-related problems caused by cold. If you're over 65 years of age, place an easy-to-read thermometer in an indoor location in your house somewhere, and somewhere you can see it frequently, and check the temperature in your home often during the winter months. If it's getting cold and you're not feeling it, bundle up, because you could be getting affected by it and not know it. Insulate all water lines that run along exterior walls or outside, so your water supply will be less likely to freeze. To the extent possible, weatherproof your home by adding weather stripping insulation, insulating doors and storm windows, or thermal pane windows, you know, the double pane windows. If you have pets during the storm, bring them inside. If you can't bring them inside, provide adequate shelter to keep them warm and make sure they have access to unfrozen water. Now, one thing with an animal you want to know is that an animal generates heat by moving. Okay, they don't usually produce heat in the way humans do. So their shelter, you want it small enough to trap their body heat, but large enough for them to move around, because they're going to move around to generate that body heat. And once it's insulated, they can capture that body heat in that doghouse or cat house or whatever you have out there and be warm. They're susceptible to the winter just like we are. Now, another thing I want to talk about is automobiles. Preparing your car for the winter. You can avoid many dangerous winter travel problems by planning ahead. Have maintenance service done on your vehicle before the winter storm hits. In addition, I would say probably around now, every November, have your radiator system serviced, or check the antifreeze level yourself with the antifreeze tester. Add antifreeze if needed. Replace windshield wiper fluids with wintertime mixture. Replace any worn tires and check the air pressure on other tires. If you live in a heavy snow area, you're going to want to get snow chains and snow tires. Now, during the winter, keep the gas tank near full. And we say that a lot in the disasters and preparedness and emergency planning, so you have a larger evacuation route. But here, it's a little bit different. You want to keep your tank near full because it avoids building up ice in the tank and in the fuel lines. You also want to put a winter preparedness kit in your car. Equip the car with this: blankets, first aid kit, a can, and waterproof matches. And this way, what we're talking about with an empty can is you can melt snow for water. A windshield scraper, booster cables, road maps, mobile phone, compass, toolkit, paper towels, a bag of sand or kitty litter. And this is to pour on the snow in front of your tires to try and give you some traction. Tow ropes, tow chains, collapsible shovel, container of water and high-calorie canned or dry foods, and a can opener. Don't forget the manual can opener. Flashlight with extra batteries or a 12-volt flashlight. Can compressed air with sealant. Now, that's the inflated tire stuff for emergency tire repair. And brightly colored cloth. All this will come into play at certain points. Example, brightly colored cloth. If you get stuck in a snowbank, tie it to your antenna so people can see you and know you need help. The mobile phone, well, we all carry our mobile phones with us, but that's for use with, calling for emergencies.
And windshield scrapers, no, I have to explain that one. I think everyone knows that.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on PrepperPodcast.com, KPRN-DB, Block Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America is known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team. Preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support. Health care and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug-out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new sponsorship from foodinsurance.com. We have looked all around at emergency food suppliers, and foodinsurance.com has become one of the most dependable and trustworthy food vendors out there. Foodinsurance.com is even offering all Common Sense Preparedness listeners special access to exclusive deals by clicking on the foodinsurance.com banner that appears on our website or by visiting foodinsurance.com/commonsense. Common Sense Preparedness finds it an honor to recommend foodinsurance.com to our listeners.
Welcome back to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to Common Sense Preparedness at CSPDB.com. All right, we've been talking about outdoor safety a bit, and we will have more shows on this, but let me get into some indoor safety. Heat in your home. If you plan on using a wood stove, fireplace, or space heaters, be extremely careful. Follow the manufacturer instructions and remember these following safety tips. Use fireplace, wood stoves, and other combustible heaters only if they are properly vented to the outside. Do not burn paper in a fireplace. That will fly everywhere. Ensure adequate ventilation if you must use a kerosene heater. Also, using a kerosene heater, use only the fuel your heater is designed to use. Don't substitute the fuels. You will have problems. Do not place a space heater within 3 feet of anything that may catch on fire, such as drapes, furniture, bedding, and never cover your space heaters. Biggest problem I have in my house, people will throw their clothes everywhere, and most of the time it hits the space heater, and I just go, I've actually taken them out, because they can't keep their clothes away from the space heaters. Never place a space heater on top of furniture or near water. It's electrical. Electrical and water do not mix. Common sense here, folks.
Never leave children unattended near a space heater. They get curious and they will play. Make sure that the cords of an electric space heater is not a tripping hazard, and do not run the cord under carpets or rugs, because that the cord itself will generate some heat, and if you have it covered, it will catch fire. Avoid using extension cords plugging space heaters. If your space heater has a damaged electrical cord or produces sparks, don't use it. You're drawing way too much current through that cord. Also, if you're going to have a space heater, fireplace, or wood-burning stove, make sure you have a fire extinguisher and have it close to the source of fire. Protect yourself from carbon monoxide poisoning by installing a battery-operated CO detector, and never use generators, gas grills, camp stoves, or other similar devices indoors. It produces too much carbon monoxide. Now, some cooking and light safety, electrical safety. If there's a power failure with the storm or during the winter, you want to use battery-powered flashlights or lanterns rather than candles. Candles tip, they catch fire, stuff like that. But try to avoid using candles if possible. If not, never leave a candle unattended. Never leave a lit candle unattended. Never use a charcoal or gas grill indoors. The fumes are deadly from it. Never use an electric generator indoors, inside the garage or near the air intake of your home or a window, because the risk of carbon monoxide poisoning. Plug in appliances to the generator using individual heavy-duty outdoor-rated cords. Don't use a skinny brown extension cord you pick up from the dollar store. Not good. You're going to start a fire. Do not use the generator or appliances if they are wet, because then you have an increased risk of electrocution. And don't store gasoline indoors where fumes can ignite. Keep that outside also, covered, to where they don't get involved with the weather too much. You also want to conserve your heat. You may need fresh air coming in for your heater or for your emergency cooking arrangements. However, if you don't have extra ventilation, keep as much heat as possible inside your home. Avoid unnecessary opening of doors and windows. Close off unneeded rooms, stuff towels or rags in cracks under doors, and close draperies or cover windows with blankets at night. Now, monitor your body temperature also while you're indoors. Infants less than 1 year old should never sleep in a cold room by themselves because, one, the infant loses body heat more easily than adults, and two, unlike adults, infants can make body heat by shivering. Provide warm clothing for the infant and try to maintain a warm indoor temperature. Now, if you've got a child less than 1 year old, more than likely they're sleeping with mama still, so you want to keep the body heat going under the covers. In an emergency, you can keep an infant warm by using your own body heat. If you must sleep, take precautions up to prevent yourself from rolling over on a baby. I think every mother knows that. Okay. Pillows and other soft beddings can also prevent a risk of smothering, so remove them from the area where the baby will be sleeping. Now, older adults often make less body heat because of a slower metabolism and less physical activity. If you are over 65 years of age, check the temperature in your home often during severe cold weather. Also, check on elderly friends and neighbors frequently to ensure that their homes are adequately heated. If not, bring them over. Have a party with them or whatever you have to do. Keep them warm as possible. Also in the home, you want to keep a water supply. Extreme cold can cause water pipes in your home to freeze and sometimes rupture. When very cold temperatures are expected, leave all water taps slightly open so they drip continuously. This way it keeps water running at all times. Running water does not freeze. Keep the indoor temperature warm as possible. Improve the circulation of heated air near pipes. For example, open the kitchen cabinet doors beneath the kitchen sink so the air from the house can get underneath the sink and warm up the pipes. Now, if your pipes do freeze, don't thaw them with a torch. I've watched too many people do this. You break the pipe. Instead, thaw them slowly by directing warm air from an electric hair dryer onto the pipes. This way, what's happening is you're not putting direct heat on metal. Heat and metal, you know, you're going to lose the metal. If you've got warm air flowing over it, it will slowly dissolve that ice. If you can't thaw your pipes, or the pipes have ruptured, use bottled water or get water from a neighbor's home. As an emergency measure, if there's no water available, snow can be melted for water. Bringing water to a rolling boil for 1 minute will kill most microorganisms or parasites that may be present, but won't remove chemical pollutants sometimes found in snow. Eat and drink wisely. Eating well-balanced meals will help keep you warmer. Do not drink alcohol, caffeinated beverages. They cause your body to lose heat more rapidly. Now, I'm a heavy soda drinker, and I got to admit, I'm more active that way. It keeps my body heat. Instead, drink warm, sweet beverages of broth or broth to help maintain your body temperature. If you have dietary restrictions, ask your doctor. That's, you know, remember when you were kids, that's when the hot chocolate gets broken out. Good substitute. Now let's jump over and let's talk a little bit more about some outdoor safety, because people will go outdoors because they like it and they want to go have fun. Now, when the weather is extremely cold, and especially if there's a high wind, try and stay indoors, cancel any outdoor activities. Make any trips outside as brief as possible, and remember some of these tips to protect your health and safety. Dress warmly and stay dry. Dress in layers. Adults and children should wear a hat if you lose 50% of your heat from your head, a scarf or knit mask to cover your face and mouth. That's where frostbite starts a lot, either in the fingers or the nose. Sleeves that are snug at the wrist, and this is because you don't want snow and cold air getting up your sleeve. Mittens or warm gloves. Water-resistant coat and boots. Several layers of loose-fitting clothing. Now, the reason you want the several layers of loose-fitting clothing is because what happens is we generate our own body heat. We keep ourselves warm. And what we've got to try and do is we've got to try and capture that body heat. So, if you've got a t-shirt on, as your body heat passes through that t-shirt, it'll get caught with the next layer. And what doesn't get caught through the next layer will get caught through the third layer, and so on and so on. And I've seen people dress in five or six layers before, depending on the cold. Now, also, you want to make sure your outer layer of your clothing is tightly woven, preferably wind-resistant to reduce body heat loss caused by wind. Wool, silk, and polyurethane inner layers of clothing will hold more body heat than cotton. Stay dry. Wet clothing chills. Wet clothing will chill the body rapidly. Now, excess perspiration will increase heat loss. So, remove extra layers of clothing whenever you feel too warm. This is basically a game of when you go out there and your body's not so warm, you want all the extra layers to capture your body heat. But when you capture your body heat and you're getting a little too warm, then you want to turn around and start removing some layers, start peeling. And that will keep you at a comfortable level and keep your body core temperature decent. Also, one side note here is you want to avoid getting any kind of gasoline or alcohol on your skin while de-icing and fueling your car or using a snowblower. These materials in contact with your skin greatly increases heat loss from the body. Do not ignore shivering. It is an important first sign that your body is losing heat. Persistent shivering is a signal to return indoors. You also want to avoid overexertion. Cold weather puts an extreme strain on your heart and can cause you extra strain of physical activity. If you have heart disease or high blood pressure, follow your doctor's advice about shoveling snow or performing other hard work in the cold. Children are looking for money, so pay them to shovel the snow. Otherwise, if you have to do heavy outdoor chores, dress warmly and work slowly. Remember, your body is already working hard just to stay warm, so don't overdo it. You want to decrease a little bit of your activity during winter, so you're not going to go out there and build a house in a day during winter. That's just ridiculous. Now, one of the things that's going to affect you while you're outside is wind chill. And you have to understand how the wind chill works. The windshield index, and we have links on our website for that, is the temperature your body feels when the air temperature is combined with the wind speed. It's based on the rate of heat loss from exposed skin caused by the effect of wind and cold. As the speed of the wind increases, it can carry heat away from your body much more quicker, causing skin temperature to drop. When there's a high wind, serious weather-related health problems are more likely, even when temperatures are only cool. So you want to keep an eye on that wind. We have charts on our website on the wind chill, and you'll notice as the temperature gets colder, and even a small wind, your body loses heat more rapidly. So it depends on the coldness also. Avoid ice. Walking on ice is extremely dangerous unless you're a child and you'll love it. Many cold-related injuries result from falls on ice, covered sidewalks, steps, driveways, and porches. Be careful. Keep your steps and walkways free of ice as possible. Kitty litter, sand, rock salt, all that kind of stuff will take away the ice. Now, when you're out in the snow and you're having some fun and you're doing some recreation, be safe during this time. Notify your friends and families where you're going if you're hiking, camping, or skiing. Don't leave the area of skin exposed to the cold. Avoid perspiring or becoming overtired. All these are factors that will kill you out there. Be prepared to take emergency shelter. Pack dry clothing, a two-way radio, waterproof matches, and Purifane fire starters with you. Do not use alcohol or other mood-altering substances, and avoid caffeinated beverages. Avoid walking on ice or getting wet. Carefully watch for signs of cold-related heat problems. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on theprepperpodcast.com, KPRN-DB, Block Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at cspdb.com. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
This is James Smith, the Covert Prepper. Have you ever wanted to make sure you have the right news? You want to avoid all that hassle of going through fluff piece after fluff piece and politician talking about another politician? Well, you can. Visit Prepper Podcast Radio Network News, PPRNnews.com. We're the number one site for preppers to get their news. You want to know about the tyranny going on in the world? PPRNnews.com. You want to know about disaster? PPRNnews.com. From disaster, finance, extreme weather, tyranny, the unrest in the Middle East, in America, in Asia. We are the number one source that people come to get the news that matters most to preppers. The Prepper Podcast Radio Network News. Visit us today, put us on your favorite, and visit us often. I guarantee you will not be sorry.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals,
heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new sponsorship from foodinsurance.com. We have looked all around at emergency food suppliers, and foodinsurance.com has become one of the most dependable and trustworthy food vendors out there. Foodinsurance.com is even offering all Common Sense Preparedness listeners special access to exclusive deals by clicking on the foodinsurance.com banner that appears on our website or by visiting foodinsurance.com/commonsense. Common Sense Preparedness finds it an honor to recommend foodinsurance.com to our listeners.
Now here's a new song from Matt Fitzgibbons from his newest album called Entitled.
Seems like a thousand years since we had real fears, but the old ones won't forget. These broken levee walls had a few close calls, but they haven't fallen yet. And you know the rain. The rain's coming, all your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When the sun beats down and it bakes the ground, and you watch the rich land die, such a vicious drought, even hope's in doubt, but there are no clouds in the sky. You know the rain's coming, the rain's coming, all your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When you feel the first drop fall, when it kisses your skin, the storm will begin to bring with it promise of change. When you wash out the things that remain.
Listen to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on theprepperpodcast.com, KPRN TV, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at cspdb.com. Welcome back to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to Common Sense Preparedness at cspdb.com.
Now, let's talk a little bit about cold weather health emergencies. Some serious health problems can result from prolonged exposure to the cold. The most common cold-related problems are hypothermia and frostbite. But one thing I like to tell people is this. We live within 10 degrees. Our body core temperature is usually about 98. At 95, we start to suffer from hypothermia. At 105, we start to boil our brains. So that's why fevers are dangerous, and that's why cold is dangerous. We live within those 10 degrees. Now, hypothermia, when exposed to cold temperatures, your body begins to lose heat faster than it can produce it. Prolonged exposure to cold will eventually use up all your body's stored energy. The result is hypothermia, or abnormally low body temperature. Body temperatures that are too low affect the brain, making the victim unable to think clearly and move well. This makes hypothermia particularly dangerous because a person may not know it's happening and won't be able to do anything about it. Hypothermia is most likely at very cold temperatures, but it can occur at even cool temperatures above 40 degrees if a person becomes chilled from rain, sweat, or submerging in cold water. Victims of hypothermia are often elderly people with inadequate food, clothing, or heating, babies sleeping in cold bedrooms, people who remain outdoors for long periods, so homeless, hikers, hunters, etc., and people who drink alcohol or take drugs because they don't know what's happened to their body in the first place. Now, recognizing the signs of hypothermia, in adults, you can have some shivering, exhaustion, confusion, fumbling hands, memory loss, slurred speech, drowsiness. Now, for infants, signs are a little bit different. They're going to be bright red or cold skin. Very low energy. Now, a baby has a normal energy level to them. They cry, they move, they look around, they're teaching themselves. Whatever the case may be, you'll see a marked difference in a baby because they'll have very low energy. Now, what to do? If you notice any of these signs, take the person's temperature. If it's below 95 degrees, the situation is an emergency. You get medical attention immediately. If medical care is not available, begin warming the person in this particular way. Get the victim into a warm room or shelter. If the victim has on any wet clothing, remove it. Warm the center of the body first, chest, neck, head, and groin. Use an electric blanket if available. Or use skin-to-skin contact under loose, dry layers of blankets, clothing, towels, or sheets. Yes, that is actually the best way to do it, but that means you might have to spoon with somebody if they're in an emergency. So you better know that person very well. Warm beverages can also help increase body temperature. But do not give alcoholic beverages, and do not try and give beverages to an unconscious victim. You'll drown them that way. After body temperature is increased, keep the person dry and warm in a warm blanket and wrap in a warm blanket, including the head and neck area. Because remember, you lose 50% of your heat from your head, and get medical attention as soon as possible. And the reason for that is because, yes, you might not be in the emergency no more, but you might have damaged some of the organs already. So you got to go and get it checked out. They've got to run some tests and stuff like that. A person with severe hypothermia may be unconscious and may not seem to have a pulse or be breathing at all. In this case, handle the victim gently and get emergency assistance immediately. Even if the victim appears dead, CPR should be provided. CPR should continue while the victim is being warmed until the victim responds or medical aid becomes available. In some cases, hypothermia victims who appear to have been dead can be successfully resuscitated. The one in particular that I'm thinking of is a case in Chicago, I believe, where a little boy fell through the ice, and it took him 20 minutes to find the boy. Okay, but what happened was when he hit the water, it was so cold, he immediately went into severe hypothermia. And after 20 minutes, they began CPR, they got him to the hospital, and with a shot of adrenaline, the boy woke up like he was just sleeping. He had no clue what happened to him. All he knew is he fell asleep. So if you have a victim that seems to be dead, start the CPR, get him to medical assistance, and let them declare him dead. Otherwise, just continue, and you might get lucky. Now, frostbite, that's the other spectrum here. Frostbite is an injury to the body that is caused by freezing, Frostbite causes a loss of feeling or and color in the affected area. It most often affects the nose, ears, cheeks, chin, fingers, and toes. Frostbite can permanently damage the body, and severe cases can lead to amputations. The risk of frostbite is increased in people with reduced blood circulation and among people who do not dress properly for extremely cold temperatures. Now, how do you recognize frostbite? Well, the first sign of frostbite is redness or pain to any skin area. Get out of the cold and protect that exposed skin. Frostbite may be just beginning. Any of the following signs may also indicate frostbite. A white or grayish, yellowish skin area. Skin that feels unusually firm or waxy. Numbness. A victim is often unaware of frostbite until someone else points it out to them because the frozen tissue is numb. It kills the nerve endings real quick. Now, what do you do with a frostbite victim? If you detect symptoms of frostbite, seek medical care. Because frostbite and hypothermia both result from exposure, first determine whether the victim shown signs of hypothermia, as described, as we talked about earlier. Hypothermia is a more serious medical condition than frostbite and will require medical assistance immediately. If there is frostbite but no signs of hypothermia, and immediate medical care is not available, you can try the following. Get the victim into a warm room as soon as possible. Unless absolutely necessary, do not walk on frostbitten feet or toes. This increases damage. The skin and nerve endings are dead or numb. You don't want it to cause any more problems. Immerse the affected area in warm, not hot. I repeat, not hot water, but warm water. The temperature should be comfortable to the touch. The temperature should be comfortable to the touch for unaffected parts of the body. Warm the affected area by using body heat. Don't rub. For example, the heat of the armpit can be used to warm the frostbitten fingers. Okay, you don't want to rub the frostbitten area, especially not with snow or massage it at all. This causes more damage. Okay? The person can't feel it, so you could be tearing off skin and muscle without even knowing it. Don't use a heating pad, heat lamp, or heat from a stove, fireplace, or radiator for warming. Affected areas are numb and can be easily burned. So, you know, if you do have to use a fire and that's all you have, just make sure you don't burn yourself. These procedures are not substitutes for proper medical care. Hypothermia is a medical emergency, and frostbite should be evaluated by a healthcare provider. It is a good idea to take the first aid and emergency CPR classes before cold weather problems arise. Knowing what to do is an important part of protecting your health and health of others during winter storms.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on PrepperPodcast.com, KPRN-BB, Block Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com.
This is James Smith, the Covert Prepper, telling you about the Covert Prepper Show. If you want to learn how to hide your food, your weapons, your water, your dear-needed medical supplies, then tune in onto Blog Talk Radio. Look for Prepper Podcast Radio Network. Look for the Covert Prepper. I'm there 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central Time, Saturday nights, where you can listen to me tell you how I figured out how I can hide my stuff. I share this with you. And I'm also undergoing a series called 300 Days to Doomsday. This is where I get people ready to, well, be ready for a doomsday. That doomsday could be the end of the world, or it could be simply as, you know, you lose your job, or even worse than that, you lose your number one provider, your spouse. So listen in and visit www.thecovertprepper.com today.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team. Preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hoteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hoteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new sponsorship from foodinsurance.com. We have looked all around at emergency food suppliers, and foodinsurance.com has become one of the most dependable and trustworthy food vendors out there. Foodinsurance.com is even offering all Common Sense Preparedness listeners special access to exclusive deals by clicking on the foodinsurance.com banner that appears on our website or by visiting foodinsurance.com/commonsense. Common Sense Preparedness finds it an honor to recommend foodinsurance.com to our listeners.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on PrepperPodcast.com, KPRN-DB, Block Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com. Well, that about does it for this episode of Common Sense Preparedness. If you want to follow any information that you heard on this radio program or any other information, follow us at CSPDB.com. And remember, a wise man prepares for a darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness at CSPDB.com.
Is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Teach your lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government, to fear your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. They don't feel safe if you are armed, you say gun control
is he's using both hands. Well, I prefer on the Frito Winter, the tiny 2-2-3. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family. Using both hands.